The COP29 climate event just finished, and really, it was full of their predictable madness. Right before it began, though, the machine tried setting the stage with narratives. The Mockingbird media put out numerous articles declaring that global emissions have hit a record high, and we're basically doomed. Once again, they changed their doomsday clock too. It changes all the time, and has been for decades. We've passed their official prediction date about a dozen times so far. Now it's almost as if they changed their timeline to coincide with political goals. But that couldn't be the case, because these people are honest, virtuous, and would never lie about anything, right? Yeah.
A 75% chance that the entire North Polar ice cap during some of the summer months could be completely ice-free within the next 5 to 7 years.
What I'm saying is the planet's on fire.
This is about our constituents and all of our lives. Iowa, Nebraska, broad swaths of the Midwest are drowning right now.
By 600,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding every single day on the Earth. That's what's boiling the oceans.
What scientists are telling us now is that the threat of an ice age is not as remote as they once thought.
Creating these atmospheric rivers and the rain bombs and sucking the moisture out of the land and creating the drought.
If we are unprepared for the next advance, the result could be hunger and death on a scale unprecedented in all of history.
And causing these waves of climate refugees predicted to reach 1 billion in this century.
Do you feel like what you have been saying all along has been validated?
Well, I certainly wish I had been wrong.
But it's true. We've seen our official demise predicted at 20 years away, 10 years, 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, 7 years, all of which have come and gone. And now the tipping point, as they call it, is 6 years away. Ironically, that would bring us to 2030. Wow, what a coincidence. I've said it before, but when predictions for calamity align with economic goals, well, that should be a hint that something's up.
The first time I spoke from here in the Prime Minister's courtyard was when we legislated Australia's 2030 target, creating certainty for business, certainty for investment, certainty for jobs. Peter Dutton is walking away from climate action. His decision to abandon the 2030 target means him walking away from the Paris Accord. If you walk away from the Paris Accord, you'll be standing with Libya, Yemen, and Iran, and against all of our major trading partners and all of our important allies. Peter Dutton has never believed in taking action on climate change, and the coalition have been a mess.
But yeah, this time the experts warn the planet is just 6 years away from breaching the 1.5 degree temperature limit, meaning we'll hit the tipping point and global warming will become irreversible. And I quote, as a result, researchers claim immediate drastic emission cuts are essential. How convenient to get that information right before a climate event, right? An event where they propose policies to address that very thing. Really perfect timing for catastrophic news. Other articles lamented the fact that the EU is going to miss their 2030 climate targets, as outlined in the Paris Climate Accords. Oh no, how very sad. Oddly enough, they were really concerned with how missing those targets would damage the image of leadership. And yeah, you know, it's a shame. Even while facing certain death from climate change, vanity found the time to make an appearance. But my point is simple. It's not a coincidence that these articles perfectly coincide with COP29 taking place. You see, first, you induce fear, and then you can pitch the solution. Tried and true tactics. However, they could really use some new strategies, because fear is just not working. But it's all they know, and they just can't let it go. And proof of that resides in the fact that they kick things off with notorious blowhard Antonio Gutierrez once again. His entire strategy is about pushing fear, every time with this guy.
The sound you hear is the ticking clock. We are in the final countdown to limit global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius. And time is not on our side.
The sound you are hearing is the ticking clock. We're in the final countdown. Yeah, a little heavy-handed to say the least, but he did not stop there. Antonio here went really hard on the doomer vibe.
The sound you hear is the ticking clock. We are in the final countdown to limit global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius. And time is not on our side. Exhibit A, 2024. With the hottest day on record and the hottest month on record, this is almost certain to be the hottest year on record. And the masterclass in climate destruction. Families running for their lives before the next hurricane strikes. Biodiversity destroyed in sweltering seas. Workers and pilgrims collapsing in insufferable heat. Floods tearing through communities and tearing down infrastructure. Children going to bed hungry as droughts ravage crops. And all these disasters and more are being supercharged by human-made climate change. And no country is spared. In our global economy, supply chain shocks raise costs everywhere. Decimated harvests push up food prices everywhere. Destroyed homes increase insurance premiums everywhere. And this is a story of avoidable injustice. The rich cause the problem, the poor pay the highest price. The richest billionaires emit more carbon in an hour and a half than the average person does in a lifetime. Now, unless emissions plummet and adaptation soars, every economy will face far greater fury. But there is every reason to hope. Excellencies, at COP28, all you agreed to move away from fossil fuels, to accelerate net zero energy systems, setting milestones to get there, to boost climate adaptation, and to align the next round of economy-wide national climate action plans, or NDCs, with 1.5 degree limit. It's time to deliver.
Dude, he went full apocalypse, a global Pompeii moment. The main thing that strikes me is the fact that you can feel their desperation through the screen. Their lies are getting bigger, bolder, and more ridiculous as their plan slips away. From the supercharged human destruction to the masterclass in climate destruction, all the way to droughts, famine, and children starving. And then, in a funny twist, he stated a true fact, that the richest billionaires, you know, the people who flew into this climate event on their private jets, well, he admitted that they emit more carbon in about an hour than you or I do in our entire lives, saying that the rich create the problem and the poor pay for it. But here's the real ironic part. That's their entire scam. All of their solutions hurt the middle and lower classes, while being indifferent to the elite. Their solutions include taxing you and I into perpetual poverty based on carbon emissions, while creating carbon markets for the rich to use, so they can pay a fee and then continue to live their lavish lifestyle without restrictions, and they have the nerve to talk to us about equity. Yeah, if you can't afford to offset your carbon, then you're basically locked down, a prisoner. Well, it's probably more similar to being on parole. All of your actions are restricted across the board, and you're gonna have the government on your ass 24/7, monitoring everything you do. Sound good? Of course not, because you have not been charged with a crime. You're supposed to be, you know, free. But Antonio did not stop there. No matter what, it always comes down to economics.
Now more than ever, finance promises must be kept. And developed countries must race the clock to double adaptation finance to at least $40 billion a year by 2025. Adaptation investments can transform economies, driving progress across the sustainable development goals. We need countries' new climate action plans to set out adaptation financing needs. And we need every person on Earth to be protected by an alert system by 2027, in line with our early warnings for all initiative. And we need climate justice.
After guilt-tripping and gaslighting the world, he declared that promises must be kept, and that we have to increase climate finance to $40 billion a year by 2025. Yeah, well, Joe Biden got the memo, and he pledged another $4 billion to the World Bank. But here's the thing, and this is so crazy, I mean, you couldn't make this up. After demanding billions more in climate funding to the World Bank, we got this revelation, and I quote, "World Bank bureaucrats lost track of $24 billion in climate funds. It gets worse though, because of course it does. They also claim that it could be too low. In fact, it could be twice as much, or 10 times more. Yeah, they quote unquote lost track of billions and billions of dollars. These people are so corrupt and inept, I don't think we have a word to aptly describe it. But, you know, speaking of corrupt and insane people, remember when Joe Biden made John Podesta the climate czar? Well, they forced him to take a break from spirit cooking, and they trotted that dude out to make a speech too.
We face an urgent question.
Do we secure sustainable prosperity for our countries, or do we condemn our most vulnerable to unimaginable climate disasters? 2024 will be the hottest year on record. The consequences of a rapidly warming planet are all around us, from the hundreds of people killed by Hurricanes Helene and Milton in the United States to the millions of children at risk of starvation in southern Africa from the worst drought in decades, to the torrential rain that stranded students in schools and displaced nearly 100,000 people in Colombia. Vulnerable communities do not just need ambition, they need action. That's why President Biden and Vice President Harris have marshaled unprecedented climate resources over the past 4 years. Colleagues, we have a clear choice between a safer, cleaner, fairer future and a dirtier, more dangerous, and more expensive one. We know what to do. Let's get to work. Let's get it done. Thank you.
We know what to do. Yeah, let me guess. Remove human rights, tax everyone into oblivion, and install a new global surveillance network. None of which will fix the damn climate, because just the premise alone is mind-numbingly stupid. All of their perceived solutions do nothing but expand their claim to power, increase the wealth gap, and ensure there's zero mobility between economic classes. It's a stranglehold on your ability to grow. And that's why we see degrowth as the main principle behind their economic plan, right? But it's even more psychotic than that, because it's all dependent on brainwashing the incoming generation to believe in this delusion too. They want the new generation to believe it every step of the way, and the UN has made sure of that via their education imperative. Their propaganda is riddled throughout the entire education system, and it's happening in every country. UNESCO and the World Economic Forum are teaching your kids that they're a plague on the earth, and the only responsible thing to do is obey their decrees. And of course, eat bugs. You know, it's just incredibly evil to perpetuate this anxiety about the future onto kids, actually telling them that their entire world is going to explode in a crescendo of carbon-fueled infernos, unless they give up basic human rights. The fact is, they're fueling a mental health crisis for the sake of their economic agenda, and it makes me sick. Everyone has to think a little deeper about this stuff. I know you all do, but we need to expand awareness a little bit more. The reason I say that is because a lot of people don't know, but it's been repeatedly admitted during congressional testimonies that the effect of this climate plan will be negligible on carbon levels. Everything from higher taxes, a CBDC, digital ID, social credit scores, censorship, mass surveillance, building 15-minute cities, it's not going to affect it, basically at all. And on top of that, it hasn't even been established that carbon is fueling higher temperatures. It could be the reverse, that higher temperatures increase carbon. They have no idea.
Well, I posed the question a couple of times. Can you please show me that human emissions of carbon dioxide drive global warming? Because the whole of the energy policy is based on emissions. And no one has yet shown that human emissions of carbon dioxide drive global warming. And if they did, they'd also have to show that the natural emissions, and that's 97% of the total, don't drive global warming. Then I look back in time, through my geological eyes, and look at times in the past when we had very high carbon dioxide contents of the atmosphere, up to hundreds of times higher than now, and we see that we didn't have runaway global warming. Of course we had climate change, it's quite natural, it happens all the time, but what we did have is six major ice ages. And there is no correlation over geological time between carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and temperature. In fact, it is the past that shows us that carbon dioxide does not drive global warming.
The drill cores we have in Antarctic and Arctic ice have chemical fingerprints. And we can work out when the planet started to warm, or when the poles started to warm up, and we can actually measure little bits of trapped air in that ice and measure the carbon dioxide content of it. And we find that as the planet starts to warm, and we've only seen this every 100,000 years, for going back 34,000 years, 34 million years, should I say, every time the planet warms up, about 650 to 1600 years later, the carbon dioxide content increases. So in Monday's Mercury, there was a letter and a statement claiming that the composition of the atmosphere controls the temperature of the planet. It's the exact opposite. It's the temperature of the atmosphere that controls the amount of carbon dioxide.
It's about controlling the population above everything else. So let me ask you, how do you think they're going to monitor individual carbon output? Well, mass surveillance. So if you emit too much carbon in your daily life, you're going to be restricted from every aspect of society, basically. From purchasing certain foods or travel, all restricted.
Road testing what sounds like an election slogan.
We've got your back.
Celebrating getting 31 bills through Parliament in one final day, including the under-16 social media ban.
To make sure social media companies meet their social responsibility.
Taking effect in 12 months after an age verification trial.
Peter Dutton committed to an age limit of 16 for social media back in June, and we're pleased that the government has acted.
Acting after too many meetings with parents who've lost children to online bullying and abuse.
We can't, as a government, hear those messages from parents and say it's too hard.
Tech giants will have to take reasonable steps defined by the eSafety Commissioner to ensure underage children don't use TikTok, Snapchat, X, Instagram and Facebook, facing fines of up to $50 million if they do. YouTube exempt. Big mainstream media news around the world.
Let's turn to that fascinating development in Australia.
This could serve as a template for other countries.
The world first in Australia.
Cities are being designed in a way that facial recognition will connect to your digital ID and track everywhere you go. Some people liken that to a smartphone, saying they already know everything about you, so in a jaded way, they believe it doesn't matter. But that's the point. It's even worse than our current situation with big tech. And that's because every action you take is put into a social credit score, all attached to your identity, and directly connected to the government. But there's more, because it's connected directly to your finances. So it's going to be incredibly easy to debank people for spreading quote-unquote disinformation, just as an example. And if they get their way, you will not be able to escape it.
Imagine for a moment that you live your life in chains, except the difference is these chains are invisible. It's a world where every single daily choice you make is controlled by something you can't even see. A world where at any time your government could cut off your access to your own money just because you've driven a few too many miles. And a world where the poorest among us will be given more reasons to struggle, while those at the top continue to live life the way that they always have. The truth is, we could all be living in that world very soon. It's a world that is ruled above all by one thing, carbon. Okay, so how does programmable money tie in with the personal carbon limit? Well, it all comes down to whether or not you've gone over your monthly usage. And if you have, there are two possible case scenarios for that. The most openly talked about penalty for a person going over their individual carbon limit is that they'd simply get charged for doing so. Just the same as what happens to large companies today. Taken too many car trips this month or bought a little bit too much meat. In that case, you'd simply get a bill at the end of each month from your government so you can pay the price of being a naughty citizen. As your entire carbon usage would be tracked by a government CBDC, there would be no way to hide how much carbon you've used. And since they now also hold the keys to your money, they won't even need to send you a bill for your excess usage. Potentially, they'll just automatically pull your fine from your bank account. So now let's look at the second option of what could happen if you go over your monthly carbon limit. And potentially this could give your government more ways of controlling your life. And in order to do so, we just have to look at what's happening in China. As we already know, the Chinese government can already take away people's ability to buy certain items through a social credit system linked to their bank account, which is exactly what your government could do as well when a programmable CBDC inevitably comes into play in the West. And it's very possible they could use a CBDC to program your spending if you step outside the limits of your monthly carbon allowance. For example, have you refilled your card too many times already this month? You could find that next time your card simply doesn't work at the pump. Or did you recently fly to the other side of the world to visit your family? Well, until your monthly limit resets, it's possible that you may not be able to buy so-called high-carbon food items like coffee, meat, chocolate, or potatoes. Again, this scenario is just theoretical at this point. However, with the power of CBDCs, it would be very easy for governments to control your money in this way and to literally be able to cut you off from buying certain things you want to buy because you've exceeded your monthly carbon limit. In short, this could really be the perfect tool in order to control the daily choices of a society, and it would be in the hands of the people at the top.
They openly talk about how they plan to control the population through these carbon emissions, and it all starts at these climate events. But again, it's even worse than that, because one of their doomsday pitches coincides with a much, much darker plan. In order to control people, they're pushing fear of disease, tying future pandemics to climate policies. It's the ultimate psyop. It's basically trauma-based mind control. merchandising the fear established during COVID as leverage for other insane policies. It's clever. It's evil, but clever. But to do that, they brought out the head of the WHO.
Climate change is the defining health challenge of our time. It affects every dimension of health. The food we eat, the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the stability of health systems on which we rely.
The climate crisis is escalating the severity of extreme weather events, increasing food insecurity, exacerbating respiratory diseases, and fueling the spread of infectious diseases. Achieving the Paris Agreement target to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius is a public health imperative. WHO joins the report's call for transformative action to reduce air pollution and increase health equity. I look forward to COP28 in the United Arab Emirates next month, which for the first time will include a day dedicated to health. Together, we must continue to remind the world that the climate crisis is a health crisis.
When you're ready to rise up, you'll rise up. All the power you need is in your hands. Now look around you. Our financial systems have been hijacked by a generation of thieves. While you're working harder and harder for less and less, the game is being rigged against you. They're turning all of us into virtual slaves. Looters, at the heart of our financial system, are price-fixing our most precious resources. Food, water, energy, gold. Even the value of money itself is being siphoned away by high-level crooks in a giant mushrooming conspiracy of unstoppable corruption. They're robbing billions of people of trillions of dollars a year, folks. There is no need for austerity measures. There is no need for financial suffering. No need for poverty. There is no scarcity. So fast, they predicted by today, entire families could live comfortably on the income of just one provider working only 10 hours a week. They wondered what we'd do with all of our spare time. What happened to that dream? Turns out they were right. What took a full work week back then can be done in just 10 hours today. We have technologies that multiply our efforts a thousandfold and connect us in ways they never imagined. We are now 100 times richer than in that great heyday of the 50s. We are heirs to a great bounty of prosperity. $70 trillion in the U.S. alone. Over $200,000 for every man, woman, and child. The only reason we don't experience this wealth is because it's being siphoned away by a corrupt criminal class. They loot through giant corporations, raising prices, lowering wages, stealing the fruits of our productivity. Where once whole families prospered with just one provider, now both parents work, delivering 8 times the productivity but struggling to make ends meet. They control the media using hot-button social issues to divide us, brother against brother, so we fight each other while they loot our sacred institutions. They make us fear too big to fail banks collapsing,